You're listening to the Imperfect PCOS podcast, where we share no BS, science-backed strategies to put your PCOS into remission. I'm your host, Corey Ruth, aka the Women's Dietitian. Let's get into it. Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Imperfect PCOS podcast. Today, we are joined by Rebecca Wall. And fun story, backstory, we went to high school together. So it's just so awesome to be able to host her today. She is a certified adult sleep consultant with Sleepwise Consulting, and she's passionate about busy women prioritizing sleep. As a wife and a homeschooling mother to three boys, Rebecca knows that ability to live with more energy, less stress, balanced hormones, reduced mental fatigue, and achievable fitness goals are met through consistent quality sleep. She has a special interest in how hormonal shifts throughout a woman's life, from puberty to pregnancy to menopause, impacts our sleep. And she's a huge advocate for providing realistic and sustainable tools for long-term success. Welcome, Rebecca.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, yes. We had our chat in my group program, and I was just, I just came away from that talk just with so many nuggets of wisdom that I felt like more women needed to hear, because it's really not something that is super focused on. So I am super stoked to dive in today. And just, yes. I mentioned earlier, Beck and I went to high school together, and it's always just so cool to be able to reconnect in our, like, air quotes, I don't really ever feel like an adult, but adult lives, I guess.
Yes.
So, yeah. So tell us first a little bit about you, your backstory, how you got into working in the field of sleep.
Yeah. So I kind of stumbled upon being passionate about sleep. And it really all started when I had my oldest son. So my oldest son is now 6 and a half. Wow. But I got connected in a mom's group, of course. Where else do we find our knowledge as new moms about a company called Sleepwise Consulting? And they were helping with pediatric sleep. And I knew, so I was like, so I don't important. Know. Totally. And I'm like, I don't know anything. So please teach me. So I hired a consultant. I worked with her for all three of my boys, and she was a lifesaver. And so I was able to get my own sleep back because my kids were sleeping.
Yes.
But then I kind of, as the years went on, realized this familiar story of moms would finally have their kids go to sleep, but they would have trouble sleeping, or they weren't prioritizing sleep because, you know, after your kids go down, it's like me time. And you know, we talked a little bit about like
the revenge bedtime. Exactly. So guilty.
Yep. Like, you know, you need to go to sleep, but you're just choosing to stay awake. And so when the company started offering adult services, I knew that I wanted to do that. So I was like, that is right up my alley. Like, I want to help women, because I'm seeing all my friends who aren't prioritizing their own sleep, and they're exhausted, and their jobs are affected by it. Their relationships are affected by it, not only with their kids, but their spouses, like the whole gamut, right? Their physical, just feelings, you know, like they just
everything.
Feel better. They just want to feel better. Yeah.
Yes.
So, I just became really passionate about just education, right? Of just education. Yep. And, you kind of mentioned it in your bio. I feel so strongly about small, sustainable lifestyle changes around sleep.
Yes.
I think sometimes it's easy to get inundated with like all these things you have to do to sleep better. And it's like, get in a sauna, change every light in your house to be a red light bulb, and don't ever look at a screen again. And that's just not realistic, right?
So
that's not
true.
The life we live in. Uh-uh. And so I just feel really passionate about what small sustainable changes can you make that will make an impact in your sleep in a positive way, but doesn't feel like you're getting whiplash. Like, now I have to change my whole lifestyle in order to sleep better.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love that. I love that. Yeah. And when I first started working with clients, one of the common things I noticed was I would have clients, when they started their work with me, fill out, in, you know, like a new patient intake form, and they would rate their
their sleep from like on a scale from 1 to 10, they would tell me how many hours roughly they would get, but then they would rate their sleep. And it was just astounding to see how many of us are struggling with sleep and how important it is. I mean, it is, I always say, like the base of good hormonal health. And I will just throw this in there because of so many women listening who have PCOS. Women with PCOS are at an increased risk for sleep apnea, which you can touch on too, and also insomnia. So if those things are happening, we are not getting good quality, deep, restful sleep. And that is impacting our mood, our energy, our even our weight, because we're, you know, have more cravings and all of the things, our relationships, everything. So what is the definition of good sleep? I mean, we always hear like, get 8 hours. Is that it? Is there more to that?
Yeah. You know, we all wish that we could just say, I slept 8 hours and that was good sleep, but it really is not all about quantity. It is about quality, because you can sleep for 9 or 10 hours and it's not, if it's not that deep sleep, then it's not really that restorative sleep that you need to function. I mean, you could sleep on an airplane for 4 hours and you know, it's not the same about taking like a 4 hour sleep in your bed. So you can't really look at
this. So true. I love that. That's a good analogy. And I sleep like shit on planes. So that actually really resonates with me.
Yeah. I don't, I mean, I would be amazed to meet someone who could actually sleep well on an airplane.
My mom, her mouth hangs open. Bless her soul. She's listening to this. Don't hate me. Her mouth hangs open about like 4 inches. And anyway, she's a great plane sleeper. I always look over and I'm like, so jealous now.
Yeah. Like, how are you doing? Although I do have tips too, if you do travel a lot, on how you can sleep better on planes.
Perfect.
But yeah, so it really isn't a good definition, really varies person to person. You know, I think most people would say, oh, I get enough sleep when it's 6.5. That's probably not enough. Anywhere from that 7 to 9 hour range is great. Studies show the more sleep, the better. So even if you operate okay on that 7 hours, seven hours would be like bottom of the threshold. But good, there's also an evaluation of like your good sleep quality ratio. Like, I think oftentimes people think, I fall asleep at 10, I wake up at 6, I got my 8 hours, but you're not actually asleep that whole time. Whether you realize it or not, you are waking up a little bit in, you know, in the middle of the night, or it's taking you a little bit to
pee or something.
Exactly. A kid wakes up in the middle of the night. So there's a percentage of like your sleep efficiency, and it's never going to be 100%. You're never going to just sleep perfectly all night, every night. That's just not realistic. So just thinking about that too, of factoring in, if you really want to truly get 7 to 9 hours, add a little bit of buffer time on either end, either in the morning or, you know, go to bed a little bit earlier, knowing that it's not just going to be solid sleep all the way through.
Okay. Yeah. Good to know. Yeah. I think a lot of us set our alarms at a certain time for that 8 hour mark, not really factoring in the other components that, when we're, or the other parts of the night when we're actually not asleep.
Exactly.
Well, you talked about sleep chronotypes, and I just was so interested in that. What are those, and how can we use that like to benefit our sleep, get better sleep?
Yeah. So a sleep chronotype is, you're more genetically disposed to a certain chronotype. And our company uses 3 chronotypes. It's pretty common that most of the times, if you hear it, it's not just our company who uses the 3, but it would be a morning lark, which is, you know, early riser, a hummingbird, which is, you know, we're all birds here, but hummingbird, which is kind of that societal norm, like operates on not getting up super early, maybe waking up between 6:30, 7:30, and going to sleep anywhere between 10:30 and 11. And then you have your night owls who, you know, would be like, please don't wake me up before 9 in the morning. And I want to stay up till midnight. So a chronotype does have a lot of genetic predisposition. And then, of course, it's just lifestyle as well. And I can also, I don't know if you do show notes, Corey, but I can send, we have a quiz to a link that you can take a chronotype quiz and you can get your results to see.
Awesome.
But what's nice about that is you want to try to, it's easier, I guess, to sleep better when you're following along with your chronotype, right?
It doesn't
mean you can't, you know, but it's And I don't remember if we spoke about this earlier, but there's unfortunately a lot of shame around being a night owl or being a morning lark, right?
And
I don't like that. I think that's really dumb because it's just kind of like your genetic disposition. But I would just encourage you to, as much as your lifestyle allows, follow along with your chronotype. If you can go to sleep at midnight and wake up at nine, great, do it. If that's how you're going to sleep better, go for it. If you like to go to sleep at 8:30, but you are up raring to go at five, go for it. You know, just try to, I like to encourage people to, as much as their lifestyle allows, go with that. And don't feel bad if you like to stay up late. Don't feel bad if you like to go to sleep early, or, you know, just go with it.
Okay. Cause that can make it sleep better. I know. So if you, you know, for example, I'm just thinking if somebody is more of that, night owl, then you would not want to pick the job that gets you up out of bed at 4:30, 5:30 AM, you know, for an early shift. But you know, for someone like me, I'd rather go to bed early and wake up early. That's when I feel my best. But then, you know, it's funny, like you think about too, if you have a partner who is the opposite, it's real hard. I can imagine to kind of merge the two, like, well, I'm going to go to bed at 10 and, you know, I know you're going to go to bed at midnight, and that's tough to kind of reconcile. So definitely conversation around that. And, you know, you can even, I think, you know, use a, something like a sleep chronotype to help, you know, communicate to your partner what your needs are and that you operate better. I love that.
And definitely plays into when is it most effective for you to work out? When is it most effective for you to do your, like, your best brain work, you know, and all of those things? It really helps to know your chronotype. And, you know, there's tons and tons of books out there to like specific, this is your chronotype, this is when you should do those things. I mean, all the way down to, exercise and your hardest tasks and when you should expect to feel really tired in your day. You know, I think most people who are hummingbirds feel kind of that lull between 2 and 3 in the afternoon. But if you're a night owl, you're not getting that until 5 or 6. And then all of a sudden you're like, why am I so tired? Well, it's just part of your chronotype. So,
so this
gives you kind of a framework of your day and how your body works throughout, that 24-hour cycle. So,
so cool. Thank you for sharing those with us.
Let's
talk about, hormones. You, you mentioned, well, we mentioned when I read your bio about kind of sleep through different phases of life. How can hormones play a role in sleep? And is there anything we can do to, you know, optimize that?
Well, I mean, you even said it, right? I think when we think about our three pillars of health, a lot of times people just think diet and exercise and sleep. Sleep, thankfully, is so becoming that third pillar of people being oh, wait, I need good sleep too. Because really, when you have good quality sleep, that is like your body's like recharging time, right? That restorative sleep. And it's doing every system in your body, from your hormones to memory, to your digestive system, to just cognitive and physical, behavioral, even like your moods, you know, all of those things are impacted when you're sleeping, and hormones being one of them. And you even mentioned it too, of like, we've all experienced being hangry. That's because when you have, when you're whatever you want to call tired and angry, and hangry, all of those things.
when you're tangry.
Tangry. Yes.
I love it.
Our new word, we're tangry. But that's a real, thing. I mean, when you're tired,
look at my toddler.
Exactly.
It's a nightmare over here.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But so much of us, as when we're women's, that's actually our hormones just being off, and we're looking for a quick fix of sugar or carbs to just keep our blood sugar up. Coffee cravings. Exactly. But cravings is a big one. There's studies that show when you get poor sleep, so less than 7 hours would be considered poor sleep, you can consume on average 300 to 500 extra calories a day.
I see it in myself. I totally do. I do that.
Because, like, you want that quick fix or those cravings and your hormones as far as like getting that full feeling are impacted. So, I mean,
leptin, ghrelin.
Exactly. And so much of that is just anchored in good quality sleep. And also just your decision-making ability. You know, when you get less sleep, you don't make the best decisions. And so even just as it seems simple, but when you're well rested, you're much more able to be like, I should probably choose an apple over this slice of pizza, even though I want that pizza. You have a little bit more of a level headed on what is it that is actually a good decision in that moment to fuel my body.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Your body's literally searching for fuel because sleep is its fuel. So obviously if it's lacking fuel, I mean, sleep as the fuel, it's going to choose something else. And that's probably not going to come in the form of a bowl of lettuce, right? Like let's be real with ourselves. It's so true.
Right.
There's no way around it. PCOS is complex and multifaceted. What we know about it, including how best to treat it, is constantly changing. That's why I've dedicated my life's work to helping women put their PCOS into remission. Inside my signature program, the PCOS Boss Academy, women lose weight permanently without restriction and master their most stubborn PCOS symptoms. If you're looking to get pregnant or want to be a mom in the future, my ultra successful Get Pregnant with PCOS program supports moms-to-be every step of the way in conquering PCOS symptoms and bringing home the baby of their dreams. Plus, there's an additional weight loss mode to check into. These are all of the science-backed nutrition and lifestyle tweaks you need to improve your PCOS and change your life from a qualified healthcare provider and leading PCOS expert in the field. Ultimately, we are in control of our PCOS, and I would love to work with you inside one of my upcoming programs so you can step into the best version of yourself and start feeling like you again.
What about just kind of puberty, pregnancy, menopause? Can sleep be impacted by those phases? Is there anything we can do to mitigate potential, you know, negative impacts during those times?
So the hardest one is obviously pregnancy, because you have to be so careful about what you're taking, what you're doing, what's safe for you, what's safe for baby. And unfortunately, your hormones are just such a roller coaster. There are certain things, you know, that you can do naturally, but you just really need to obviously talk to your doctor about what they say. But some easy ones are just pillows, being, you know, the more comfortable body position you can get into. And that most people would be like, yeah, of course I know that. But just really making your sleep environment, in particular, really when you're pregnant, as best as you can to make yourself comfortable, because it's your hormones are going to be fluctuating whether you eat perfectly or not. It's going to happen because you're growing a human. So there's, you know, it's only so much you can do. You're like literally growing another human. There's only so much you can do then. But one of the biggest things is, and I know you do this a lot, is encourage your clients to track their cycles, track their sleep, see how that also just on a monthly basis. I mean, your estrogen and progesterone and or testosterone and progesterone are in flux so much during your cycle that kind of learn your own body, start taking notes about like I have crazy time sleeping the night that I ovulate. I just know it. Like, And then like 3 to 4 days before my cycle starts, I have a hard time sleeping.
Me too.
And so I think
every time.
So I think it's one of those things that you can be doing all the right things. You're like, I have a great bedtime. I ate great. I exercised. I did all the things right. There's just certain things that you're like, it's my hormones and I can't really do anything about that. It's just going to happen. So I think that also helps though, just even being aware, because then you're not chalking it up to being like, I'm just a terrible sleeper or now I have all these issues with my sleep. It's like, oh, wait, no, I know what this is. I can look at it and recognize it. And then it feels a lot less threatening when you have a bad night's sleep, it when you actually know it's coming or you know so to expect it. So.
Exactly. And especially for those listening, if you have irregular periods and you never know when your period is coming, tracking your cycle is even more important and helpful, because if I didn't track my cycle, I would literally not know ever pretty much when my period's coming. So that allows you to have that extra info piece that says, oh no, oh, actually my period's due in 4 days. I don't know why I looked at my imaginary watch.
Imaginary watch.
Yeah. I'm going to be better with a timer watch. On it. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I should be like this, scrolling through my phone. But then, you know, it's coming and yeah, like you said, you can kind of avoid some of that, you know, downward spiral as far as, oh my God, I'm never going to sleep good again. No, it's just totally. That your period's coming and your hormones are literally dropping like rocks, and that can impact how we sleep. Mm-hmm, so cool. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Yeah.
Oh no, it's okay. And I was just going to say that mindset piece about your sleep is so important too, right? Yes. Like how you're framing your mind in preparation is so important.
Yes.
So if you're going into bed thinking, oh, I hate being in bed, I lay awake all night, I'm stressed out, I can't sleep. Mm-hmm. You know, your mind's going to just associate like I'm a bad sleeper. Like that whole mindset of thinking you are or are not a good sleeper really does make a difference. And so being as much as you can positive about your mindset around sleep, like I call them anchor statements, and they're, you know, whatever sentence you want to create, but a positive affirmation essentially about sleep that you can say to yourself as you're preparing for sleep, like my body knows how to rest. I'm allowed to rest. My body slept before, I know how to sleep again. You know, just a kind of statement that you can just repeat before your mind goes in chaos, that you can say like, my body knows how to rest. I know what this is. And so
yeah, a little mantra.
Yeah. So when you are having those days where you're like, oh my goodness, my period's starting in 2 days and I feel totally wired and I'm never going to sleep, or your kid wakes up in the middle of the night and you're having trouble falling back asleep or whatever it may be, repeating something that to yourself, you know, that you can really anchor your thoughts and being like, you know what, I can sleep. Or if you can't sleep, I can make it through tomorrow. I can make it through tomorrow.
That's a good one too. Yeah.
Yes. Just focusing your mindset on that. So.
This is good. I feel like I just kind of want to dive into some of the awesome strategies that you have when it comes to just overall getting better sleep. If this is an area, that a listener struggles with, last time we chatted, we talked about just setting up your environment in different ways. Mm-hmm. We talked about like a brain dump journal or whatever. Yeah. I don't remember the exact awesome term that you're using.
Yeah, that was it.
It is okay. Yay. A plus for me. Let's dive in. I feel like, you know, there's so many great insight tips and, you know, practical strategies that you have that listeners can walk away with saying, I'm gonna try that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing is, like I said, you know, when you hear all of these tips, don't be like, oh my goodness, this is so many. How am I going to implement all of this when I have so many other things on my plate? It's like, start small, start bite size. It's just like a workout plan or a diet change, right? Yeah. Like you're not taking small, sustainable steps. So if it feels like I'm coming at you with a fire hose, like this is too much, too many changes, you know, just take a little bit out of the time.
Yeah. So pick what you want, pick what resonates with you. Cause they're not all going to. Yeah,
totally. Okay. Totally. Yes. Yes.
Lay it on us. We're ready.
Yes. So the first thing that I would recommend to somebody who's having trouble sleeping is doing what we call a power down hour. Mm. And when you hear an hour, you're like, okay, I don't have an hour before bed. So start small, with 20 minutes. But we
can do that.
You know, in our life, we get ready for so many things. We get ready for our day, we get ready for work, we get ready for an interview, we get ready for all of those things, but we hardly really take time to truly get ready for bed. You know, maybe we'll like grab a makeup wipe and we'll like wipe our face and then like brush our teeth and then like hop in bed quick. But it's really setting not just our like bodies down, but our minds down to sleep. And so this is where that brain dump journal comes in, and you can do whatever you want in your power down hour that feels relaxing for you. Mm. We would say screens will be off.
Okay.
At that point, it's like bedtime for your screens at the start of your power down hour.
Tuck them into their little beds.
Little blankets. Yeah. And say, see you in the morning.
Yeah.
But it can be something from like a warm bath, reading a book, talking to your spouse who might be over or up like three more hours than you, or going to sleep at uh-huh. that time, you know, yes. strategizing based off your chronotypes. Uh-huh. But really adult coloring books, you know, yeah. whatever it may be that just mm-hmm. feels like you're getting your mind turning off from the day. Mm-hmm. And that time to do that brain dump journal, like look at your planner, write out every, I'm an old school planner, right? Can you tell? Yeah. I just dated yeah. myself. I'm like, oh, write in your planner.
Write it down. I love it.
But I do that. And, I love it. And I write my next day's to-do list on a post-it note. But anyway.
Then it gets that out of your head too.
Exactly. That's exactly
I love
point.
That. And, yeah, I need that.
And yeah. And so whether you're just writing it down or maybe a note in your phone or whatever, but just kind of getting whatever's swirling around mm-hmm. just out of your mind. And yep. it can be something like, wow, today was so crappy. And my 3-year-old like yeah. yelled at me
yeah.
or, you know, like, or I have
sounds like my life. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Or like my work day was so terrible and I hate traffic. And why do I live in Seattle? No, I'm just kidding. but you know, whatever yeah. it may be, mm-hmm. just getting it out of your mind. Yeah. I also recommend just keeping that notebook then on your nightstand. Mm-hmm. So if you wake up in the middle of the night and you're like, mm-hmm. okay, swirling thoughts again, taking over my sleep, you can grab that journal. It's not for anyone, right? It's for you. It doesn't even have to be legible. So it's really just scribbling out those thoughts to get it out of your mind.
Yes.
So yeah, putting that brain dump journal in there. I would recommend showering, even if you're not washing your hair, showering or a bath. It helps lower that core body temperature, which is crucial when you're trying to sleep well, because the heat from a shower is like coming out of your extremities and lowering that core body temperature. So,
it doesn't have to be a cold shower.
No.
Okay. Cause someone has recommended that to me and I tried it and I cried. So I'll not do that again.
Yes. You know, there are positives to the cold shower.
I know. I want
to
like
it.
Yeah.
I would say that's probably better for the morning anyway, right?
Well, like, yes, that's true. Wake yourself up. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Another thing to do also, like I have them right here, just like blue light blocker glasses.
Oh yeah.
You can get them mm-hmm. on Amazon, like a 3-pack of like really cute, like little Edna glasses.
You know, love it.
Incredibles. But, I just put those on really like as soon as I see it start to get dark outside. You know, it could be a placebo effect. I think they work. But especially when we're so exposed to just blue light all mm-hmm. throughout the day,
all day long
screens. Yeah. Just pop on like at your power down hour, a pair of blue light blockers and that will really help. And then we touched a little bit about this too. This would not be the time for heavy exercise. This would be the time for stretching, you know, yoga, a light walk would be fine, but we're definitely not trying to get our heart rate up. We're trying to get it lowered. We're trying to calm our nervous system, not ramp it up. So I would say, just avoid any strenuous exercise at that point. Just keep it light.
Awesome. That makes perfect sense. I know a lot of us can feel like the only time we can work out is after like maybe our kids go to bed, but
yeah,
maybe something a little bit more like a little less intense.
Yes. And I would say also just notice that too, you know, like I the other day I hadn't worked out and I really wanted to get a workout in and I ended up on our like bike and I had trouble falling asleep because I was like, well, of course I did. I just worked out and now 20 minutes later, I just took a shower and thought I was able to go to sleep, but my heart rate still,
I can totally see that. Yeah.
So, I'm like, okay, I know that about myself. Why am I doing that?
Yeah. <So. laughs> You know, I could slip one past the old brain. No.
Exactly.
No.
Yep.
And then the brain dump journal, that I think is such a great tool. I know anxiety can really prevent good sleep. And women with PCOS have 3 times higher rates of anxiety and depression. So just being able to get those thoughts out of your head onto something else, onto paper and saying, you know, I'm going to think about that tomorrow can help facilitate that kind of power down, that shutdown mode.
Exactly. Yeah. And such as being a woman also, right? Like my sweet husband.
I meant to say yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I like it also. Yes, too. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I'll look over and my husband is so great at compartmentalizing his day. Yeah. He'll be like, yeah, work was work. I can scroll my phone and roll over and go to sleep. And I'm like, okay, okay. And I'm, you know, we have the same responsibilities.
Yes.
Same bills, same amount of children, all of these things. But I'm like, how is that possible? So I think it's really also important if you're, you know yourself, like just being a woman's mind is a blessing. So let's make sure that we're
super,
on top of it.
We are superheroes. I know, right? Yeah. I'm like, it's like 11 p.m. I'm thinking about the pack of diapers that I have to replace because the other stash is getting low and like the dog food and like all these little things that do not need to be crowding my brain as I'm falling asleep. Just whip out that journal, write down what I got to do the next day. Boom, it's done. Now I can sleep. I think that's such a powerful tool. And I really urge anybody who especially deals with like nighttime anxiety. I feel like that's for me personally, I don't know why, but that's when mine tends to hit is night, nighttime. Yeah. It's like everything that I've been avoiding during the day just comes at me. Yeah. And that's such a great tip. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will say too, even though after you, we want you to keep your random journal on your nightstand, I would not recommend doing that in bed. So I would recommend doing your brain dump journal outside of your bedroom because our brains are smarter than we are and they're going to start associating any of those feelings or thoughts with your environment. So if you're laying in bed and you're like, my mind's spinning, your brain's going to be like, this is where I do my best work and I think about everything, you
know? This is where we spin out. And,
yes, exactly. And we recall every memory ever. And
every embarrassing moment.
Embarrassing moment, like thing you didn't do. So I would say, even though we do want you to, like, I want you to keep it on your nightstand so that you can have it if you wake up in the middle of the night. But do your brain journal, dump journal in bed. Do it on the couch where you can be stressed the next day, but don't do it in bed. So we really want, that kind of leads me to just my overarching, like, bedroom environment. I feel so passionate about a good bedroom environment. Mm-hmm. And I say it should be like a cave. It should be dark, cool, and quiet. Just no background noise, like a TV or anything like that. We spoke about this a little bit in our conversation in your group that like I am a huge advocate for a white noise. So something that is going to be consistent throughout the night. Static throughout the night, not going to be like, you know, I don't know why I just said Law and Order. I don't even watch Law and Order, but that's what came to my mind. But, you know, like that on some the background as you're falling asleep. Yeah, that's going to like have all these crazy noises that'll wake you up or whatever. So really just keeping something static throughout the night.
Yeah.
That also helps with snoring spouses or barking dogs outside or cars that drive by. You know, there's so many things outside of our environment that we can't control. Mm-hmm. So being able to like, what can we control in that environment? Just trying to be proactive about that. So doing a white noise and then definitely keeping it cooler than you might think. Mm-hmm. So ideal is 62 to 68 degrees. I'm going to laugh because one of my good friends, we're on a text message string with our husbands and she sent me a text message last night and was literally like SOS. She sent me a picture of her thermostat and it was at like 76 because her husband loves to keep it hot.
This
clip and tell him that I am calling him out to everybody. Yeah. Like, you got to make it cooler. But we joke about that all the time because I'm like, you have to keep it cool in order for your core body temperature to cool down and sleep better.
Yes.
And, you know, windows open, fresh air is great. Mm-hmm. Again, if you're not having too much of that external
noise. Or like the draft, like a draft. Yeah.
Exactly. Having that fresh air. Okay. And then, just darker than you think. We have light receptors all over our body. So we might not think that having our TV on, even like the little light on it can impact it, or keeping our phone. If we keep our phone in our rooms, which most people do, right? Putting it face down.
Yes.
So if you get a text message or an email or whatever, it's like that light's not coming up. But just being really aware of just the things that you can do in your room. I would also say, just give it a good look. It does not need to look like Pinterest. but your bedroom should be clutter-free, whatever that means to you, right? Whatever clutter-free means to you is how it should
be.
Yeah. Like if you can sleep with a pile of clothes in the corner, okay, that's fine. But if that stresses you out, cause you're like, oh my goodness, I have laundry I have to do tomorrow. Like,
yeah.
Get it out of the room, you know, something that you're just trying to make it as calming and peaceful as possible. And, yeah. So, I mean, I would say no TV in your room if I had it my way. If I came to your house, I would tell you to get the TV out of your room.
Well, it's funny you say that because like I mentioned before we hit the record button, I am moving on Saturday and, you know, we were talking about our bedroom and I was like, we have a TV in our room now and it has been great because I turn it on when I'm trying to do my makeup in the morning while the kids can watch it for like 15, 20 minutes. But I'm like, you know what? We're not going to need that really anymore because the living room is right there. So I'm just going to keep the TV in the living room and not have our TV in the room at all. And I'm very happy with that choice because before this, I never had a TV in my room. And I love that. I love having that separation. It's just, it does help with sleep for me.
Just really making it so like your bedroom should be for sleep, sex, sickness. That's what I like, the three things. Like when it's a place for your body and mind to recharge. And so
to recharge.
So those are the three things.
And snacks. No, I'm just kidding. That's not one, guys. So talk to us about, I'm just going to run through a little list that I have that I think are just kind of, oh wait, before we get to that, a couple of apps or one app that you love for like white noise or like getting to sleep. Is there?
Yeah. So there's a couple. Honestly, Spotify. You can just like search white noise loop and have like 12 hour loops that you can do. I've totally used it when we've been traveling too for like my kids, right? Like nap time or whatever.
Yes.
Although they're out of naps. Oh, RIP.
Oh no. But, I know. Right.
But when we used to have that, used that. So just traveling, it's a good one. There's also an app called Calm, which has white noise, and it also does sleep stories. So if you're just someone who wants to like listen to something and they're like narrated by celebrities giving these like stories of going through lavender fields and all of these things. So if you're someone who likes to listen to something like that going to sleep, that's also a good app. But there's lots of really great resources. I mean, YouTube, if you like. I don't know. I'm always worried that an ad is going to come up in the
middle of
like, your sleep and wake you up.
That would suck. Yeah.
But they do have like loops and things like that. But I would say as much as you can also just try to use a consistent one. You know, don't do like, I mean, I shouldn't say don't do this. If you sleep well, that's fine. But like the city noises where it's like beeping cars. You know, some people like that or like the rainforest, but I would just say keep it something like very consistent in your sleep as you can. So
Thank you for that. Awesome. Okay, so I wanted to ask about caffeine and sleep. Is there a general rule around that you go by?
Yeah. So again, caffeine is one of those things that it's impacted person by person is impacted differently by caffeine. I mean, I've known people who be like, I'll have a regular caffeine cup after dinner and I'll be able to fall asleep. But then I would say, well, how is your sleep quality? You might be able to fall asleep, but are you getting into that deep sleep? So I recommend having a caffeine curfew. And I usually do that by 2 p.m. That usually gives you a good amount of time for your body to at least metabolize most of the caffeine out of it by the time you're ready to go to sleep, whether that is 8 o'clock or whether that's midnight. And, you know, obviously caffeine consumption is based off of the person as well, but trying to just have as early in the day as possible. And if you feel like you need that, it's very, very normal for us to have that afternoon slump. But trying to find something else that can maybe substitute that feeling of awakeness going outside would be my suggestion, you know, get some actual sunlight. But I also, you know, just knowing that there's other sources of caffeine that is not just coffee. So being really aware of, you know, chocolate has caffeine in it. teas, if you're not paying attention, have caffeine
black
in it.
Tea, so, chai. Yeah.
Exactly. So just, I think sometimes matcha. We just want to assume, coffee, caffeine. If I'm not drinking coffee, I'm good, but there are sneaky sources of it. And so just being really aware of that. Obviously the levels vary, and having a piece of dark chocolate for dessert is not going to keep you up all night,
right?
But just being aware of that. So,
okay. Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much for that. Yeah. The caffeine, I used to do like a 3 PM cup of coffee, and this was in grad school mostly, and a little bit after, but that was like my pick me up. And now I just have a snack because it's better for my blood sugar. And it does give me that same pickup. I literally know myself, my fiance jokes about this. Like, I know my body so well. I know exactly, like, if I'm not looking at a clock, I'll know when it's noon because I want lunch. I'll know when it's 3 p.m. because I want my snacky. I'm just like, so on the schedule, he'll be like, oh, it's 3:30. Are you hungry? You're dying over there. So I like that also. If anyone, if that resonates with anyone, as far as like giving yourself that little boost of fuel.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, definitely.
This is awesome. We have covered so much in a short amount of time, and you have so much wisdom on this topic. I'm so appreciative for your time and your knowledge. Can you tell listeners how they can find you, how they can work with you? And then, yes, in the show notes, I can drop whatever links we want to put in there, including the quiz.
Okay. So you can find me on Instagram at Sleepwise in Seattle.
Such a cute name.
thank you. Yes. And there's a couple ways to work with me. We do have a kind of masterclass of sorts, a pre-recorded self-paced course that you can go through on your own, and then add like coaching calls with me, or I do one-on-one consultations. So
cool.
Sounds probably similar, like an intake questionnaire. We kind of go over through your lifestyle, your caffeine intake, nutrition, sleep quality, all of those things. And then we work together for the next 5 weeks and go through just a customized sleep plan that I write for you based off of what your sleep needs and sleep goals are.
That's great. So helpful. Yeah. And I like that it's that amount of time too, because it can take that much time to not only make progress, but check in and see, okay, how is that progress going? Do we need to make any tweaks, any changes? It's not just like here you go. See you later. Good luck.
Exactly. You know, and nobody gets to poor sleep overnight. So it's really realizing that it takes time to get there. And so our goal is improved sleep at the end of the 5 weeks. It's not going to be perfect sleep. It's going to take time and intention, but we're really tailoring it to that person, because someone who's a 19-year-old college student is not going to have the same needs as a 30-something mother or a 45-year-old woman, you know, whatever.
Yes.
And you know, I specialize in women. I do work with men too. So if you're like, I don't need the help, but my brother, uncle, know, I do take all adult clients. But you know, I just have a special interest, obviously, with my ladies who need extra help. So,
That's so great. Thank you so much, Rebecca.
All right.
If you like this episode, don't forget to review my podcast on Apple Podcasts. It's what keeps me running. Thanks for listening to the Imperfect PCOS Podcast.